Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Middle calf.
Hey, babes.
Here we go. Another day, another pot. Blue collar like Jimmy G's dad, baby.
Have you peeked at the little thing they like to call Dogecoin?
I have peeked at it. I did hear about it, yes.
It, guy, is flying, as a famous Italian guy once said, to the moon. Right now, it is up 30, almost 40%. It's at 57 cents. When we first started discussing it, it was between 6 and 8 cents. So you do the math.
Are you in on Doge right now?
I never got in because I let the, the social media opinion elitists tell me that I was a moron, shouldn't touch it. And it has gone up heavily. My little brother's theory is that Elon is hosting Saturday Night Live and people think that he'll give some hype on it. I haven't really thought much about that theory. It doesn't make too much sense, but it's clearly flying for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that all this time I thought it was about Brian Dozier, and it has nothing to do with that different kind of Doge.
Yeah, it's flying. Headed to the moon.
All right, everybody, another pod also means another YouTube stream. So this podcast is being live on YouTube. So for all the YouTubers, we'll get to your comments, of course, at the end of the pod. And for the pod people, remember, we do have a mailbag coming up on Friday. Mailbag returns this week. So on iTunes, if you're an iTunes user, leave us a review, 5 stars. In that review, leave us a question, draft question, off-season question, whatever you want it to be. And we will get to that on the weekend podcast.
Yep. Also, we had some separate content, put up a bunch of stuff on the Niners. And just, I think, over draft weekend, we did a bunch of videos on just different things separate from the podcast, as well as, obviously, we cut up all the good podcast stuff is up there as well for our guys that like a little visual. They say this thing called the YouTube's a big deal. So you can find us there. Pretty easy.
I had somebody hit me up the other day and said, the YouTube's, I think they originally came into the podcast from the YouTube channel. We're not originally a podcast listener. Found the YouTube channel first and then came to the podcast. So as always, we like to say, if you're watching it, check out the podcast. If you're listening to it, check out the YouTube.
Yep, do it. Also, as I'm wearing a little American-Giant.com promo code AM. Go check it out.
Forgot to grab my hoodie, but that got washed yesterday. It's ready for the week. American made. We'll tell you more about it later in the podcast, but American made, extremely great quality t-shirts, hoodies. The classic hoodie is the flagship, but all kinds of the V-neck, the crew neck, the slub, men's, women's sweats, the whole deal. 15% off with code HAM at American-Giant.com. Not a sponsored deal this week, but we also do have, we decided, you said to me, like, actually the Wells Fargo Championship's pretty good. So we did make a DraftKings game. Not a huge one. It's 50 people. It's $10. You can get in it. Go to the Haberman and Middlecoff DraftKings page. I can tell you, John, exactly payout. So 50 people, $10. Here's the payouts. First place, $225. Second place, $135. Third place, $90. It's not F1. We don't care about fifth in this particular contest.
I just looking at the odds, you know, there's some big names. Bryson, JT, Rahm. Rahm, to me, dad mode. You know, I do think there's pretty incredible value. Max Homa, his first win was 2 years ago. I saw that he told Golf Digest, like, why are you so much more competitive now? He's like, well, I'm just a way better golfer. Like, I do think he's won here before, and he's just, he was in the mix this weekend with Keegan Bradley. I think he's a factor. Tony Finau, just to me, anytime you get Tony 25-30-1, like, he's going to win. I know it's kind of crazy. And then Willie Z guy. Do you know that Will Zalatoris does not even have his PGA Tour card? And unless he wins, he's on like a, I don't even know what the word is, but he's conditional status because of Corona. They let the top Korn Ferry guys, but then he's made enough money that he can keep playing. But he's not like actually a PGA Tour member. He's even talked about it. Like, I have to win to technically get my card, even though now I've made enough money to like, I can play for a year or two. But I'm not like just set in stone like a lot of these guys that have won tournaments. Mm. So it's just I do think he's pretty good value at like, I think he's like 30-1. Keegan Bradley too. I saw him after the tournament saying, "I've never played better golf in my life." Like I know he was playing good golf today.
Going into last week, right?
Yeah. So he's like, I feel pretty good going into next week, going in the PGA Championship. You know, he's won a major. Like he won the PGA Championship. You get a fly in your water?
No, there is a. There's like outside, I went down to see Elias earlier. There are like chicken feathers all over the street.
What?
All over the street. They're just like floating. They're in the sidewalks. They're on the cars. I mean, it looks like somebody hit 500 chickens with a truck. And I went to Elias and I'm like, dude, what is going on? Elias at the corner of the liquor store. And he's like, I don't know. Some guy told me they're coming all the way from Broadway, which is several blocks away.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was a big chicken murder or something. And so I put a screen in the window, but I had just a little itty bitty, like I could tell that's where it came from. Sorry, dude. Sorry. If anyone knows why there are just chicken feathers all over San Francisco, let me know.
You know, it could be Bum's Free Basin Chickens around the corner. Would that shock you? You never know in that place. You never know.
Anyway, you're hot on golf. The one thing I was going to say before we dive into football,
I'm just saying there's some pretty good. I wouldn't call them like 100-1 long shots, but guys, 40-30 guy. When you put $25 on 40-1, that wins $1,000, right? Yeah. Obviously, if you put 100, you win four. Like that's you as football gamblers, you don't ever get those. Even if you get a great 20-1, like a team to win the NFC Championship. You got to wait all fucking year.
And it's so hard to win. You have to win multiple games. Golf, we're talking about one weekend.
Yeah, just one weekend. That's my problem with future bets. I know a lot of people, gamblers, play them. I don't know if I have the patience. It's just a long wait, especially if you're going to put a substantial, like I think a lot of times like the big sharps or even like a big gambler will put $500 on a future. It's just a lot of time to wait just $500 or $1,000 just sitting there.
Yeah. I think one thing that happens a lot with golf, and I think Homa was a good example of this, is when a guy plays well, you kind of wait. Like, did he just level up, or is he just having a few good tournaments? And I think we tend to think this guy's just having a couple good tournaments, or there's no crowd, or this isn't with the big boys, or blah, 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 blah. It's pretty hard to stack month after month after month after month. The level of play that Max Homa has. Max Homa,
I think Max
now one
is
of the good young golfers in golf. Right?
He's just a player. Yeah. He's a player.
All right. A lot to get into today. Should we begin? Should we dive in? All right. Let's dive in. Let's start with Michael Lombardi, John. A couple things here.
Did Jason Kelce once famously say, "Michael Lombardi"?
Was that the parade?
Yeah. I think he started it with the clown, Michael Lombardi. Remember on the top of the Rocky statue.
Yeah. That was a legendary speech from Jason Kelce. Mike Lombardi, I guess he said this on Fox Sports Radio. "I'm not buying it was Trey Lance all along for the 49ers. Anybody you talk to in the NFL that has sources, they aren't buying it either. The Niners can say it was Trey all along. That's a crock of crap. They traded up to get Mac Jones, and then the outside pressure became really bad. So there's two things that Michael Lombardi is saying here to address. One, was it Trey Lance all along? And two, did the outside pressure change their decision, and did they draft Trey Lance and not Mac Jones because of outside pressure? Okay, so two different things, both in the same quote. The thing about the outside pressure has gotten some attention. Ben Albright retweeted it and said this did not happen at all. So to me, this is the thing that I think has less discussion around it. I don't believe for a second Kyle Shanahan drafted Trey Lance because of outside pressure. Let's start with that part. Do you buy that or not?
I believe, and I don't claim to have inside sources on who they were going to pick the whole time, like Lombardi claimed to know, and he was wrong. And I want to start there. I think a lot of people that were open about and very aggressive about their opinion on who the Niners were going to take got it wrong. I mean, just plain and simple. They went all in on Mac Jones, and they took another guy. This area, we always red flag that. We're like, this does not parallel or have this does not look like what they've been doing over the last 4 years. I have a hard time seeing this. And we were right. We went back Justin Fields, Trey Lance, whatever. It was just, I don't believe the Mac Jones. Michael Lombardi's, and he was not alone. They never wavered. And they were wrong the moment Trey Lance's card was read by Roger Goodell. Here's what I do know, though, is that I have a hard time seeing Kyle Shanahan give a flying fuck about what anyone on the outside thinks. Whether that, what are you talking about, social media? Because sometimes you read a headline, it goes, there's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of, like I saw Albert Breer, who I like Albert a lot. And I think his MMQB, like, it's really hard to just take that over for Peter. And he hasn't skipped a beat. And he's one of just this unique guy that can have opinions, but is very well connected. And his MMQB, I read it every week. And he wrote a headline that Kevin Colbert, I think we have talked about this before, that he was only going to take seniors or guys that played this year. And he was like, that was very controversial. I'm like, with who? Like, some people on Twitter thought it was stupid. I think we do that a lot with the Mac Jones thing was universal. You even said you were at, like, doing the Pac-12 golf championship. The dude that won it from Arizona was a diehard Niner fan. Is that true?
Yeah.
Am I throwing him up? But I'm not even throwing, but it's just.
Well, now that they didn't draft Mac Jones, let's just say the guy won the championship. I won't say his name, but you can find it. Really, I mean, incredible performance. Won it in 74 holes. I had to go to the playoffs. And right after he came off the green, I was like, oh, you're a Niner fan? He's like, man, I hope they draft Trey Lance, not Mac Jones.
So that was a universal sentiment. No one wanted Mac Jones here. I don't believe for a second that they pivoted, because I believe, my gut educated guess, from the moment they made the trade, they had a stack. They had a board. Now, they've said that since, that it was Trey Lance all along. We can go back and forth. No one really knows unless you were in the building. I believe that it was Trey Lance, and I think they lie a lot, so it'd be an easy one. But maybe it was Mac Jones, but they had a guy the moment they made the trade. And the way they played it, the moment that night, once they took Trey Lance, they laughed at everyone that ran with Mac Jones, basically like, yeah, we just let him go. Why were we going to stop him?
Right.
And I don't, and it's safe to say where we were coming from was like, that's what we thought the whole time. Like, what, it behooves them to just let everyone run with it. Because it got crazy. It got so aggressive.
Yeah. So, look, this was the biggest decision Kyle Shanahan's ever made.
Right. I mean, it's one of the biggest decisions in league history when you factor in a trade of that magnitude.
But my point is, for Kyle to take one of the biggest decisions, forget about the trade. I just mean, once Kyle Shanahan decided, I'm drafting a quarterback in the first round. Hell, if Kyle drafted the quarterback at 12, it would be one of the biggest decisions of Kyle, maybe the biggest decision of Kyle Shanahan's career, right? Maybe next to who he chose to be his GM.
I don't know. I mean, Belichick took Mac Jones at 15. It just felt like whatever.
Yeah, but Bill's career is very different. Like, right now, Kyle, this is the first-round quarterback, Kyle. Took RG3. Kyle is in charge of this team.
Yeah. Belichick's never drafted a quarterback that high either.
But I know what you're saying. If you're Shanahan walking around the office in your joggers the last 3 months, you felt the pressure. But the pressure did not come from Lombardi and Sims and Schrager and Eisen and Haberman and Middlecoff. you know, just all the big boys. It did not come from us and the media and Twitter and Niner fans and Jed York and the referee at your kid's soccer team. The pressure that he felt came from him understanding what a significant decision he was making. That's my point. So there is no way in hell that Kyle Shanahan, making the biggest decision of his career, allowed Twitter. And when I say Twitter, this is not even a social media thing, because it's everybody was saying it everywhere. Allowed the outside noise. Let's put it that way, because this is just everybody everywhere that covered the league talking about this. There's not a chance in hell he allowed that to affect his decision. No way. No way. There is no way that Jed York telling him, man, everyone's talking. Not a chance in hell, John. Because totally the pressure agree. That he puts on himself, we see it on his face every day when he coaches his football team. Now, as it relates to whether or not they love Trey from the beginning, yeah, I buy that he watched the film and said to John Lynch, you got to watch this guy. And I buy on Monday when they talked about him, they said, man, think of all the stuff you could do with Trey Lance. And I agree with you that I think they had a stack of guys when they made the trade. Like, here's the number of guys we'd be comfortable with, right?
Well, I'm saying they had Trey picked when they made the trade.
So I agree they had a stack of guys and maybe Trey was at the top. Where I would differ a little is I do think they considered Mac Jones. Like, I think they liked him. I do think they liked Mac Jones. And I think if they were drafting 12, they might have taken him. Did they consider drafting him at 3? I don't think they consider drafting him at 3 on Thursday. I don't think they consider drafting him at 3 at Monday. But I think 2 months ago, yeah, I think they thought about it. I do. I don't think Mac Jones was the leader in the clubhouse necessarily. Like, I do think they've said enough about Trey Lance to let us know they really like Trey Lance from the beginning. They've stopped short of explicitly saying Trey was the guy we were drafting the whole time. And even if they said that, would you believe them? Because everybody always says that about the guys they draft.
But I don't disagree that they liked Mac Jones. Like, I do believe they like Mac Jones.
And I think they liked him more than Fields.
Part of the process of February, March, and April in any draft gathers information and guys go up or down. So it's like you don't necessarily know the stack of a draft board, and that includes Jamar Chase's and Penei Sewell's and everyone when the season ends in January. Like, usually the combine, that's where you can kind of get an idea with times, with weights, with interviews. That's kind of where guys get stacked. So there's some validity there. But here's what we do know when the dust settled. If they would have taken Mac Jones at 3, and it's kind of pointless to talk about this like in like a week or two because it's like he went 15. It would have been the biggest overpay probably in the history of the league, given that they traded 2 net first rounders and this year's first rounder and a third to get a guy that ultimately, I believe, given once we had all the draft information, was still overdrafted. And I'm not a Mac Jones hater. I think he's fine. But given Mac Jones' talent, that's probably as high as a guy with his talent has ever gone at 15. And the talk for a month and a half with the Lombardis was he was going to go 3. And I said it to Coward fucking a month ago that it would have been the most arrogant pick in the history of the league. And I was proven right because the guy ended up going 15. And I still believe to this day it's kind of an overdraft.
Well, you like said it on this show first.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, anyone with a brain was saying it. I mean, it was just like, what are we talking about? We hammered it home for a month. And just at the end of the day, they didn't take him. And I think it's hard for a lot of people that put all their chips in the table on Mac Jones. Like, it's easy to be like, oh, they can say whatever they want. They're bullshit. Well, bullshit. I think you got played, you know? And I think they, listen, I'm the first one to say that I think they lie a lot. Because all teams do. The media is an easy mark for teams. They just are. And they can say whatever they want. And fans, too. Like, we don't really know what to believe unless you know the guy personally. But I have a hard time thinking, like, you know, when you read the story about the breakdown of the trade and just going, Kyle really wants Mac Jones, and I get that they worked, you know, all the pick 3, pick 4, pick 5, seeing where they get. Where Parag, who was like a value genius, was like, yeah, we got to get there to get Mac Jones. Like, I mean, it never added up for me. It never added. And I think Kyle was a little crazy with quarterbacks, but it would have been still. We're going to find out. Like, there's still some sneaky pressure on Mac in New England, but he went 15th overall. That's a pretty precipitous drop for a guy that, you know, everyone thought was going to go three, right?
Yeah, but it's not really. It's a drop from nowhere, right?
Yeah, to me, he didn't drop at all. He was overdrafted.
But see, here, this is what I don't think the 49ers said. I don't think the way they viewed it was. This is just my read on it. I don't think the way they viewed it was, we're at three now. We can't possibly take Mac Jones. I think they were at three and then said, okay, could we take Mac Jones? There are things we like about Mac Jones. Like, what I want to know is, okay, you called, you know, Kyle Shanahan sent the clips to John Lynch and said, you got to watch this guy. I'm sure he sent him clips of Mac Jones too and said, look at all these things that Mac does that I think would work in the NFL. Like, you can have liked Mac Jones, ultimately come to Trey Lance, maybe like Trey Lance the whole time, and still considered Mac Jones. Like, when you trade up to three as early as they did, what you're doing is you're giving yourself a chance with an open mind to look at everything. And I think one thing Shanahan said was he watched the tape. They tried to do a trade in early February. They got to know Trey Lance. He told Eisen this yesterday. And if I had met Trey before I watched his tape, I liked him so much, I would have watched his tape and thought, boy, I hope the tape measures up to the guy. So I think Trey Lance solidified himself once they got to know him, once they had a better feel for his aptitude, once they interacted with him, all of the things. Like, it's not just about how good he is. And you always say, you've said this as a scout, like, the first thing you got to do is the tape. Because if you love the guy, you can't let that cloud what you see. But even
I think that's fair in any walk of life. Like, whatever the job is, more than we meet the person, you're going to start naturally rooting for him. Or vice versa. You might hate the guy, but he might be really good at his job.
But it's also part of the evaluation. Can this guy be the centerpiece of my franchise? Do I want to work with him every day? Do I trust him? Do I think he's going to get better? Because I need whoever I draft to get better.
I'm not disagreeing that they didn't have a lot to learn about everyone, but I have a hard time thinking that everyone was just like, oh yeah, we can just take Mac. Like, there had to be, if that is true, there had to be, John Lynch and Adam Peters had to be like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, I think that there are probably people that were 100% all in on Trey Lance the whole time. I do think they still consider.
Well, because they end up evaluating. I mean, part of John Lynch and Adam Peters' job is they do that in the fall when Kyle's coaching against the Jets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They watch college tape and do that stuff during the fall. Kyle does not, and the coaching staff does not get involved till January. He claimed he was watching like when they were in Cabo, the way I read it.
Yeah, because he went beach house for a month and watched tape. Yeah. But one thing John Lynch said, remember, when Kyle finally told him who he liked, right? That the way they presented it was, the reaction was John went, okay, good. Almost as if John was on Trey. He thought Kyle would be too, but Kyle had to tell him, I'm on Trey Lance is the guy we're taking. So, again, since we started this with Lombardi, I don't buy outside pressure affecting their decision. Do I think they like Trey Lance from the beginning? I mean, that's what they've said. I just think they've left enough open that I do think they also considered. Now, I don't think they consider Mac Jones a week ago.
But a lot of people consider a lot of players.
Yes, yes. I don't think this was February 1, whenever they started trying to do the deal, Trey Lance is the guy we're drafting. I don't think that's what it was. I don't think it was in stone Trey Lance was the guy.
I think they made the trade. Trey Lance was the top of the stack.
Fine. That's different than Trey Lance is the guy we're drafting and it's over.
Yeah, but nobody, even when you make a trade, unless you're trading up to one, like when the Eagles made the trade for Carson Wentz, they were still debating Jared Goff and Carson Wentz because they didn't know who the pick was going to be. So I think that's part of the process while you make a trade. But you make the trade with a guy at top. Now, maybe that changes.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if Kyle had to be like, if part of this is a little fabrication and he had to be talked into it, Pete Carroll had to be talked into Russell Wilson. So as long as you come to the right conclusion and don't make a mistake, then, and ultimately we don't know anything yet, but it was the right decision in terms of what you would have had to pay on draft day. Drafting Mac Jones, he would have to be like a top five quarterback. It would have been a horrendous decision.
Ultimately,
make the wrong decision.
I mean, we use where he went partly to justify that. I think that take was legitimate before the draft. Justin Fields went 11. It's not like Justin Fields went 4, 5, or 6 either, right?
I think it's fair to say that a decent amount of teams like Mac Jones and Trey Lance more than Justin Fields, but I heard that the Bears love Mac Jones and they ended up taking Justin Fields. So it's hard to truly know because everyone sculpts their truth that sure. they want you to believe.
For sure. For sure.
But you're really just defined on who you end up taking, right?
Yes. Yes.
Like, hey, even if the Niners, they've done the opposite, but if they're like, you know, we really like Mahomes. But they just claim they didn't even watch him. But it would have been like, well, if you really liked him and you ended up taking Solomon Thomas, like, it makes you look worse.
Yeah, you're like better off saying we didn't watch. Yeah.
You see the Packers? Somehow it came up on a timeline or Rap saw it. We're like, we're Justin Jefferson. We loved Ayuk. We're like, what the hell, man? We just take Jordan Love. Like, we wanted those guys. Like, okay.
So you wanted two receivers, but Jordan Love was rated higher on our board.
Come on, guys. It's the Danny Ainge, Draymond Green, number three guy on his board.
Yeah, great until they draft Jalen Reagor. It's like, oops. So, I don't know. All right, John, let's tell the people about American Giant. American-Giant.com. Use the promo code HAM. Get you 15% off. You're wearing the American Giant right now.
Guy, do you like America?
I like American made.
I mean, who... America, American-made, the American working man. I think Chris Farley and Dan Aykroyd once talked about that in a film known as Tommy Boy. They're for the American worker. So are we. We're tired of going outside of the country. We like to stay here. American-Giant.com. Promo code HAM. Get yourself a discount. Get yourself some clothes. Get yourself a hoodie. Get yourself V-necks, regular T-shirts, you name it. Just go to their website. It's pretty easy.
I think American Giant should do a commercial with, was it Petey Pablo, North Carolina? Come on and raise up, take your shirt off, twist around your head, spin like a helicopter, because they do make their stuff in North Carolina. From the raw cotton to the cutting to the sewing, every single hoodie, the American Giant classic full zip hoodie. I've got one. You've got one. I had a friend, Chris Chickadance, who used to actually take his shirt off and swing it outside of his Acura TSX every time that song came on. But everything, the full supply chain, John, in the Carolinas, the zippers. The greatest hoodie ever made, the T-shirts, you're wearing it right there, high quality. This is stuff that lasts you for years and years and years and years. And they've got it for men, they got it for women, they got the sweats, they got the V-necks, they got the crew necks. It all starts with the hoodie and just builds out from there. 100% American made, from the cotton to the zippers. Get your classic full zip hoodie right now at American-Giant.com. Promo code HAM, 15% off your first order.
Do it.
American-Giant.com. Actually, if you're watching the YouTube or you're listening to the podcast, the link is in both. So you can just boop, go right there, promo code HAM.
Gotta love technology.
Yep.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And, of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping.
Okay, next up, speaking of the quarterbacks, I keep putting the old sleep number ad up. I got to get rid of that. speaking of the quarterbacks, Kyle Shanahan was on Rich Eisen's show. He has talked about Jimmy Garoppolo being the starter. You and I guessed the other day, like, what exactly does that mean, right? And Kyle gave us kind of a blueprint for how he's looking at the quarterback position. He's been talking about this a little bit, but I thought to Rich, he put it probably in the most basic, straightforward way. And what he said was that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be, quote-unquote, running with the A's, I think is what he called it, the ones. And he'll be our starting quarterback, period. Quote, I'm not going to say that I'm not going to play a rookie quarterback. I'm not going to say that I am going to play a rookie quarterback. That's up to him. Like, that's up to Trey Lance to show me that he's ready to then be in a competition. When Trey Lance shows me that he's ready, then I will let him compete with Jimmy. But until that point in time, so it's not when he shows me he's ready, he gets the job. It doesn't work like that. It's when he is now trying to show me that he's just ready to compete. Jimmy Garoppolo is my starting quarterback. So that Kyle Shanahan has laid it very clearly for us how he's viewing this quarterback situation.
Which I think is fair. Jimmy's your starting quarterback. You make this guy earn it. Because you're not just going to put a guy out there that is not ready. Now, to me, the moment he shows he's ready, and coaches know this better, I think, than personnel guys, because there's so much into calling the play, the comfort. The one issue I often have with coaches with this situation is there's like an unquantifiable, it's like, you know, he just feels a little flummoxed out there. Like, what do you mean? You see that pass he just threw? I don't give a shit that if he didn't quite read the end of the play. Like, to me, there's a learning process that you have to be open to, but he just has to prove that he could take balls from center, just make the play call, understand the offense. I do think, though, going into the preseason and the preseason games, because let's face it, the last several years, if you just watch Jimmy in the month of August, it looks terrible. I mean, awful. Jimmy is, I don't know how they would describe him as a practice player, but I'd say a preseason player, he can look awful and really, really bad. And to me, if Trey Lance is going out there and making plays, you go in with a plan. Once upon a time, you and I were, you know, when we talked a lot about the Raiders, they went in with Matt Schaub as their starting quarterback. Now, Matt Schaub was not good by the time the Raiders got him. So it was clear, like, you're not going to be able to win with this guy. And then Derek had a really good preseason, and it was clear, like, just go with the more talented guy. Jimmy is much more physically gifted than Matt Schaub, so it'll be hard for Jimmy, even when he looks bad, to look that his balls just, he throws a harder ball. But I do believe, like, if Trey Lance is just, would you be stunned if, like, Trey Lance gets a start in the preseason, quote-unquote, over Jimmy? Obviously, it wouldn't happen the first preseason game, but what if Kyle's like, yeah, we're just going to play Jimmy. Our plan is to play all three preseason games, you know, just a little bit. But by the third game, they just think Trey Lance is making more plays, and they start him.
I mean, I would not be stunned if he starts a preseason game, no. I would be stunned if he starts a preseason game because he might actually become the starter because he's, quote-unquote, making more plays. That would surprise me if he's able to do that. I mean, even Garoppolo, well, we'll get to stuff that Jimmy has said, but that part would surprise me. Is that what you're saying? Like, that he'd be the starter in a preseason game because he might actually become the starter?
Yeah, I just think that ultimately your play doesn't lie, and the team knows it, the coaches know it. There is, if you're living in it, and I you and I now kind of helicopter in and helicopter out pre-corona, and as do, I guess, some media members go to practice every day. But even then, like, if you're not truly, like, the thing the media does not get, that when you work for a team or part of the team, is, like, the meetings, like the coaching staff meetings, where you go over the personnel and really get a vibe of where everyone's standing on the guy. And it changes, it ebbs and flows day to day. And it's a powerful thing. I remember the first time I was ever allowed my first year to go to a personnel meeting with the Eagles. I was like, damn, this is fucking sweet. Hard knocks. You know, even though I had been around them for 2 years with Fresno State, it just, the difference is that in college, like, let's get rid of this guy. You know, he's going to cut him. You don't do that. You just end up moving him up or down. Where in the pros, like, guys are playing for jobs, but also you're playing for starting positions, which is a big deal in the pros. And I just think that there's going to be a vibe with how Trey's playing in training camp, good or bad, that ebbs and flows daily, that factor in more than just his throws, what he's like in the meeting room, what they think his ability to translate improvement from day to day, that will be hard to tell besides just if you and I were just standing there on the sideline, just he throws a good ball, he's accurate. Right. But that is not, with a quarterback, Like, if you're a running back and you just make some plays, like Matt Breda, you're like, damn, this guy might have something. With a quarterback, there encompasses more because you're basically trusting him to run the team. And that's where I am in agreement it's going to be an uphill battle. But I by no means think that if Trey can come out, because physically he's just way more gifted than Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy's big advantage is understanding, which is a big part of this offense. But
it's a big part of any situation.
Trey's a different animal.
Right. It's a big depends on, you know, I think what would be interesting to see is, do we arrive at a point where Kyle Shanahan's comfortable enough that, yeah, we're going to have packages for Trey, but he's not really competing with Jimmy for the starting job, right? We've talked about how they use him. That could be where we arrive by the time the season's here. It's like, I'm happy with where he is, comfortable putting him in games to do specific things. He's not a better option than Jimmy Garoppolo right now today because I'm trying to win football games, right? Like, whatever we think. But Kyle Shanahan...
Sometimes you say that, though, and you're wrong.
Well, absolutely. You know? But I think when you're trying to win a Super Bowl, this goes back to the Chargers thing last year. They were wrong, too. But they were wrong, and their organization was in a different place. Like, they were at a place where it was easy to go, guys, you're not winning a championship this year. Start Justin Herbert. Now, maybe we don't think the Niners are really going to win a Super Bowl this year, but I think they view this year like they're going to try and get back to the Super Bowl. Now, first they got to just be a playoff team. That's how you and I talk about them. But they think they've got, like, they just paid Trent Williams. They think they got a Super Bowl roster. So that's how they view week one, is like, who gives us the best chance to win today? And Kyle Shanahan said it, like, there's not going to be any question when Trey Lance is ready to compete. When that moment comes, it's not going to be because Trey Lance walked up to me, put his hand on my shoulder and said, coach, I'm ready. It'll be because everybody can tell that he's ready. I'll be able to tell. His teammates will be able to tell. Jimmy will be able to tell. Anybody watching will be able to tell Trey's ready to compete for the job. And that's when he'll compete for the job. Period.
Yeah.
But I do think this goes back to Jimmy didn't get traded. Jimmy's worth more to this team than he's worth to other teams. Like, if they wanted a first or a second for him and they were only getting offered a fifth, it makes sense. Because he's worth more to this team now that they've drafted Trey Lance. He's not worth as much to them if they drafted Mac Jones or Justin Fields, who you would think should play right away. But he's worth more to the 49ers than he's worth to other teams. So they're going to treat him that way. Because right now he is their starting quarterback.
One big picture element, and I'm not trying to sprint before we just crawl, but if you go back, let's just say hypothetically they pull off the Alex Smith thing. Jimmy plays this year. They're successful. They win a playoff game.
The Alex Smith Chiefs thing, not the Alex Smith Niners thing.
Well, yeah, I guess it was both. The Alex Smith Chiefs thing with Mahomes. And he sits for a true year. Maybe depending on how the year goes, if that Week 17 game is meaningless, they can give him a meaningless start like Mahomes, and he was really good in that game. The reason ultimately that worked so seamlessly for the Chiefs is when Mahomes came in the next year, he won the MVP, and they went to the AFC Championship game, and they went to overtime against Tom Brady. So they upgraded immediately, and you knew it.
Right.
I do think it's difficult if you just start Jimmy, and let's say it's one of his four, you know, every other year, he's healthy this year, they go 10-7, and they win a playoff game. It's like, I have a successful year. It would be let's say you lose in the second round, but it was like, fuck, you're back, double-digit win team, but next year's Trey Lance's year, because now it's time. Then it's like, the reason it worked for Kansas City is the motherfucker came in and they dominated and he was awesome. Like, that right. is, that you could argue there's more than added pressure on Trey because then he's just got to be good and he hasn't really played. Like, that is, to me, when you start the rookie, the bar's low. Because right now, I hate to say it, everyone talks like the Super Bowl roster. I don't even think that is a playoff roster. But I like starting. Don't you want to start the rookie with a playoff level roster? Wasn't that the best thing that ever happened with Russell Wilson?
Yeah, again, ideally, but the guy has to be ready. Like, all of this stuff is just hypothetical until the guy's ready to play. If the guy's ready to play,
part of the reason he's not ready, and looking back at Mahomes, would the Chiefs have been better off if Mahomes had started for a rookie? They'll never truly know. But I could make the argument probably. Do they lose in that first round to Mariota? Maybe not. Like, so is it ready just because the short term? Maybe. But just because you have Jimmy Garoppolo, it's not. I get it if you have, like, Aaron Rodgers. But it's not like you got a Pro Bowl player. He's just better, you know, just because of quote-unquote experience. But I do think if you take the big picture view, I don't think it would be crazy at all if we went, is he truly ready? Probably not, but we're just starting him. Now, clearly they're not going to do that. But to act like that's not an option to me is stupid.
Yeah, but the question is, what does ready mean? Does ready, this is where I go back to my comment.
Who's ever ready for anything?
No, but okay. But this is where I go back to my comment about training wheels. What does ready mean to Kyle Shanahan? Does ready mean can execute the offense exactly like Jimmy Garoppolo can? Or does ready mean can do enough that I feel comfortable with them on the field, right? And that's, I don't know what ready means. We'll see. But I do think there's a difference between him, even than Mahomes, certainly than Herbert, just given the amount of football all those guys played. Now, I do think he's clearly open-minded to it. Like he said, I'm not going to say I'm not going to play a rookie. I'm not going to say I am. I haven't seen this guy in the field in a Niners uniform yet. So I do think he's open-minded to playing him, and given his experience with RG3, my guess is if he can give you enough plays on one end that it limits some of the stuff you can do on the other end. In other words, he can do some stuff Jimmy can't do, but there's also a few things you're not ready to do with him yet. My guess is he's going to get an opportunity. If he's at that point, then he's going to get an opportunity to compete. And the other thing is Jimmy historically has not been as consistent or productive as Alex Smith, right? Like, that's the other difference. Like, Alex, what did Alex do that year that Pat Mahomes was on the bench?
Well, I think he had his best year of his career.
So, okay. Like, that's another part of it, right? Like, Tyrod Taylor has never had the year that Alex Smith had. Jimmy Garoppolo has played 1 year as a starter. So, you know, Patrick Mahomes wasn't kept on the bench by a middle-of-the-road performer that year.
No, but I think we both agree Alex is a better player than Jimmy. And Alex's last season for the Chiefs, like, if you tell me Jimmy gives them 26-5, like, yeah, I mean, I don't expect Jimmy to do that, though. You know, and that's...
Right, no, I understand. I'm just saying, like, that's where I think the situations are a little different, potentially.
I would go into this thinking, I by no means think Jimmy is some lock. Now, I don't know if that means week one, week three. I'm pretty open-minded to the situation, just because this guy might just be way more talented than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Absolutely.
And Jimmy
might
fine.
Be more ready
Jimmy's
than
solid.
We think.
Yeah. And you don't truly know till they practice. And like Kyle says, but you do know. And they'll have a vibe like, we got something special. Or it's like, okay, this guy's a legit project. Then to me, if that's the case, okay, then you got times on your side. That's where Jimmy does come in.
Yeah, as long as, to your point, as long as...
But is he the third stringer?
Right.
Or is he the backup?
As long as he doesn't look like Jordan Love. Whatever Jordan Love looks like, couldn't tell you because they've been keeping him underground, I think.
Especially given that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the starter. Zach Wilson's going to be the starter. I'll be a little surprised if Justin Fields isn't the starter.
Or is he not?
And Mac Jones the starter? Probably.
Yeah.
Well, Mac Jones is playing, probably. You'd think, but that one's a little harder to figure out.
Would Bill just...
Bill's trying to win, so it just whatever happens will win. And I understand Kyle trying to win, too. Like, no one wants to lose. But there's a balance to think big picture with the young guy that you just invested all this.
I think, for me, the bottom line is, what does Kyle need? Does Kyle need him to know the playbook like Jimmy, or can Kyle have him as a do-the-training-wheels offense?
Yeah.
That's the, you know, what does it mean to Kyle to have him be ready?
Jimmy got the training wheels offense in 2017 when he showed up. They won.
When he came in during the season.
Not an apples-to-apples situation, but an apples-to-apples situation.
We've seen Kyle do different things for different players. Right? I would imagine he wants to play him.
Yes. We want to see him.
We want to see him. There's no doubt. This not being decided in May, also good.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
For business. And you know, the other part of this is Jimmy Garoppolo does have some power in the whole situation. Right? Jimmy and his dad. Jimmy, I didn't realize Jimmy was doing this every offseason with his dad. Doing like media tours. Is it clear exactly to you what exactly they're promoting?
No clue.
Blue-collar workers.
Blue-collar guys.
Skills, Klein Tools and Skills USA. They've been doing interviews, talking about things.
Are they just promoting tools?
You know, they did something. I saw Cam Inman, I think, was at. They did something at in San Jose. I don't know if it's at... somebody else can tell me. That's not relevant to us necessarily. This is one of the things Jimmy Garoppolo said. He reached out to Trey Lance. He said, it's hard coming into this league. I know how it was coming from an FCS school into the NFL. It's a bit of an adjustment. It's just different. What I can do to help him, I'll be more than happy. And the way I read that is, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you don't even need Jimmy to be more than happy. But Jimmy is in a powerful position here, because when you are the starting quarterback, as he is right now, we know that because Kyle called him that, you do affect the locker room. You affect, we saw it happen in Philadelphia. There became a split. Right now, he's the starter. It's easy to be that. When Trey Lance finally gets to the point where he's ready to compete, then you don't really have control of the situation anymore, right? Just like Jalen Hurts started looking good, some guys wanted Jalen to play. If the Niners get to that point where some guys want Trey and some guys want Jimmy, we'll see. They'll have to cross that bridge then. But when you are the starting quarterback whose replacement has been drafted, you do have a lot of power just in terms of affecting the energy in the room, affecting, you have the ability to make it difficult, not just for Trey, but if you make it difficult for Trey, you're making it difficult for your coach. You're making it difficult for your teammates. You know, there's some stuff here Jimmy can't control. If Trey Lance is just better than him, Garoppolo can't control that. But he can control what has been, under Kyle Shanahan, even though they haven't won a ton, I would say the building has had a pretty good chemistry, I guess could be the word. They've just had a pretty good uniform type of vibe around them that Jimmy could negatively affect if he didn't handle this like a professional.
I think Jimmy Garoppolo has a lot to gain. You know, I would say in most industries, even ones that pay a lot, it's pretty easy to pivot to another company to do whatever. I mean, hell, at one point in time, I think you could call Abram Middlecoff a little malcontents, with management.
Yeah, luckily, call him that.
There's so many options, and it's not, you're not confined to one league. Right, most businesses, they're not like they're all in the same thing together. Like, you can go a million different directions. In football, there are some people DM me like, why doesn't Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson just refuse to show up, sit out, and go play in Canada? Well, it's like, well, the NFL pays you when you're the number one overall pick almost $40 million. Check out Canada. They're not only are you not allowed to walk out of your house, they don't pay you any money to play in their league.
Can I address that for a second?
Yeah.
I think from the outside, it's easy to look at the Jags and just be like, what a mess. Ugh. Ugh. But guess what happens? They fly you a private jet. They fly you to a gorgeous facility. The stadium looks beautiful. Everybody that's around you is high level. You're talking to Urban Meyer.
Stadium a little old, but.
Well, I just mean you walk into the facility and they're going to have a bunch of suite. Now, he did come from Clemson. I'm just saying, when you walk into an NFL office, it doesn't feel like you're walking in to like Blockbuster as it's crumbling around you. Like, it feels like you're walking into a multi-billion dollar industry, because you are. Anyway.
And, you know, in his, you know, instance, they brought his teammate. Probably a little easier transition, right? But, you know, in football, your actions, unless you're an elite player, like Antonio Brown level, when you act like an idiot, you can't hide it. It not only gets out, it gets out like wildfire. Everyone knows. And actually, I would say the perception, it gets worse. I think sometimes we end up, and a lot of teams don't mess with guys because the negativity by the time of the chain of communication gets to them is like, oh my God, this guy around our guys? No way. Not what we've heard, even though it's not probably nowhere near as bad. But the story just gets, listen, I know I naturally do it. When I hear something, I just kind of embellish it one way or the other, and it can just grow. And with Jimmy, the one thing that it does grow, and probably even more positive, when it's like, this is a good guy, man. I want this guy in my room. This guy, like, I'd say Mariota's the guy where it's just like, we just want this guy around. Like, he's just salt of the earth, good guy. And he can play a little, but, you know.
I don't think he's as good of a passer as Jimmy.
But my point is, Mariota makes $3 million. Like, if you're just in the back of quarterback, like a huge reason that Chase Daniel's just around, like, or Blaine Gabbert, like, we just love this guy around the dudes. Love him around the fellas.
Right.
He knows what's asked of him. Now, Jimmy is, you're talking about a starting quarterback, but if those guys, like if Blaine Gabbert or Mariota was better, people would be lined up to get those guys, right? This guy's one of the guys. People love him. Their problem is they're just not good enough.
Yeah.
Jimmy can play well this year because he has in the past, but he can also be like, you know, he was the first guy. Did you mention this? I mean, Trey said this. He was the first text he got was from Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. So, like, you keep...
Which shows that he gets it. because he wasn't sitting there fired up.
And even that type stuff is, we can laugh at it or whatever. But if the year goes on and it's just like, you know, Jimmy and Trey, they like each other. They got around. Like, isn't Alex a great example of just his stock, I would say, rose. Now, a big part of that year, his play had never been better. But I do think he doubled down on, God damn, this guy couldn't have treated the guys any better. And he acted like not just a pro, but that set the bar in our organization for how to conduct yourself.
Yeah.
Can Jimmy act like that? Because if he does, then I think he's going to earn, best case for him, people are going to want him. And two, best case for the Niners, that if he plays well, obviously people are going to want him, right? Because there's something to be said about, at the quarterback position, the last thing in a million years you want is any bad situation, whether that's personality, whether that's like Deshaun Watson, whether that's Carson Wentz. I just want my guy to be, like, say what you want, Minnesota never has to worry about Cousins. They wish he could make a little more plays, but it's just, he's the least of our worries, right? If our defense is good, we'll make the playoffs. He's not our problem.
Yeah, I mean, he's, when they're good enough to win a championship and he's their quarterback, then he's their problem.
And the reality is most people are never going to be good enough to win the championship, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could have argued he was their problem a couple years ago.
Their problem was, like, if we had Mahomes, we'd win the championship.
Yeah.
But you don't.
Yeah.
Like, you won a playoff game, that's a hell of a season.
Yes.
And Jimmy's proven that. Like, if your team's good and you have Jimmy, like, you can win. I think he has a lot. If you just look at most guys to gain that aren't going to be on their team, like, obviously, like a DK Metcalf or a Hopkins, these guys are going to be on their teams for a while. I'm about a guy that clearly is not going to be on the team for probably more than a year. No one in the league to me has more to gain than Jimmy Garoppolo if he plays well and acts right.
100%. Yeah. I mean,
and the Niners directly gain as well, because he would immediately have, like, Washington football team, whoever just needs a starter, like, all of a sudden he has value. Under contract next year, too, right?
I think the Steelers are a good example. I don't know that Mason Rudolph's good enough to be. The odds are that he's not good enough to, right, be Ben Roethlisberger's. You'd bet against it. I would. Replacement. But Ben doesn't. One thing's clear. Ben doesn't make it easy for whoever. The next guy that's the Steelers quarterback won't be like, got to give a lot of credit to Ben. Man, he really helped me out. Right?
But don't you think that's hurt kind of Ben? Like, right now, if they had cut him, it's like, do we even want this guy around?
I think it just makes their life harder. Like, I think Mike Tomlin's job historically is harder than it looks, because he makes it look seamless. But Juju, clearly, that's not easy for them. He's back, but it's not easy for them. Juju hurt himself. AB, the fact that you've said this a while ago, the fact that Antonio Brown was a Steeler for as long as he was and it didn't get weird until the very end, credit to Tomlin. Ben, again, more maintenance than you want your starting quarterback to be, there's no question.
I'll give you a good example of a player who's not any good anymore, but people just clearly seem to like him, is Joe Flacco. Like, Joe Flacco's going to bank an extra $10, $15 million just year 35, 36, 37, 38, just getting to be a backup.
Yeah.
Why? Because not an asshole. People like him.
Yeah.
Now, I think his personality might be a little different, but clearly, like, people aren't afraid of him, right, to bring him around their young quarterback.
Right.
Well, then, to me, there's something to be said about that, and it's a hard balance. Ooh. And Jimmy's now has been a backup and a starter. You could argue Flacco had always been the starter. Jimmy does have perspective. Right, he was a backup for three.
He was in Trey Lance's shoes, kind of. I mean, he wasn't directly drafted to replace, but Brady could look at it that way, right?
Brady did,
and he did. Yeah, yeah. And Brady still invited him to the, Derby.
The Derby. Yeah,
I actually saw some photos, because the Derby was Saturday, of Jimmy and Tom at the Derby. I'm like, wait, is he still going to the Derby with Tom?
I saw that too. Yeah, it was old photo.
It was old. Yeah, it was old.
Kind of the reddish suit he had on. I was like, I swear to God, is this Jimmy back?
I remember Tom's big, like, camel brim, like, hat. That's what
I
remember.
You know who did it? Because Edelman's like, I love this day.
Yes,
and he threw up the photos. I was like, is Wes Welker at the draft, or is he with Brady? It was like Vrabel in the back. I'm like, these guys are working. You know? They can throw you off with some of those. I don't blame them for posting pictures, because they look pretty cool.
Because I'd be really impressed if they went back again, like, next year, and Jimmy was back with the crew.
But Tom was just there, but he went with a different crew this year.
Yeah, I didn't see.
Did
who
you see the picture
was.
Of Tom had a huge hat on this year?
Was it the camel colored one, like the light tan one?
No, it was like blue purple. It was a darker color.
The question is Jimmy going to go next year and invite Trey? If Jimmy had gone Saturday and taken Trey Lance, that would have been a That would have been impressive. That's what Jimmy should have done, man. He missed an opportunity.
I know.
Go to the Derby, take Trey Lance.
That would have been pretty funny.
You know? Josh Johnson, the whole crew. Ladies and gentlemen, before we move on, let's tell you about netsuite.com/am. If you're still running your business on QuickBooks, you are in quicksand. QuickBooks? Crazy. The bigger your company grows, the faster you sync with outdated software that just can't keep up. You don't have time to spend dealing with manual processes, multiple systems, delays, scrambling to get the numbers you need. It's time to get on solid ground, and you do that when you go to netsuite.com/ham.
Well, I'm excited to use them, guy, netsuite.com/ham, because, you know, you and I, tax season next week comes to a screeching halt, and, you know, you're going through all your different accounts, you're trying to figure it out. I need to get in one consolidated area. That's where these guys come through. They help you automate your key business processes and close your books in a fraction of the time. I mean, I was up last night, 7-8 o'clock at night doing this stuff. It's like, this sucks. Think days, not weeks. In fact, 93% of surveyed organizations increase visibility and control over their business since making the switch from QuickBooks to NetSuite. How do you beat that?
We're talking financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need to grow all in one place. Right now, NetSuite offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to graduate from QuickBooks. Head to netsuite.com/ham. That's special financing for you graduates at netsuite.com/ham. That's netsuite.com/ham.
Do it.
Oh, the places ground beef from ButcherBox can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham. Code HAM.
I got to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock. I've spent years trying to upgrade my security system at the house with one of those big name companies that, I'll be honest, sucks. I got the Eufy Video Lock, and it's an automatic improvement. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y, Video Lock. It's easy to install, just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. And now I've got the keyless entry. I always go for walks. I don't want to take keys. I hate stuff in my pockets. I go without the keys. The fingerprint recognition lets me in less than 1 second. There's no monthly fees. You have your recordings locally. You never have to pay for storage. I love knowing that doorbell ring was just a delivery. I don't have to jump up and get it. Or if I'm out of town, I can look. I can see the landing in front of the door and tell the neighbor, hey, do you mind swinging by and picking up something? I love the 3-in-1 video smart lock from Eufy, and you will too. So search Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Aaron Rodgers. Stuck. Stuck.
Terry Bradshaw's ripping him. Terry Bradshaw's naming all the guys. Did you hear that? Terry's naming all the guys that they had to try to replace him. He's like, you know why I didn't care? Because I knew when we got on the practice field, I was better than all those guys. But Aaron stuck. And I, you know, Kyle Shanahan told Eisen, yes, I called LaFleur. And it was a very quick phone call. LaFleur said, don't bother to have John Lynch call. We're not trading Aaron. And this was my take at the time, and I only feel more strongly about it in every day since. Aaron should have blown this thing up 2 months ago because he gave the Niners no time to trade for him. Gave him no time. Like, remember what happened with Tom Brady? The Niners spent a few days diving into Tom Brady, and then they decided, whatever, we're not doing Tom Brady. Oops. But they gave the Niners no time to try and get
The Niners wouldn't have won the Super Bowl with Tom. Tom made the right decision. Tom got lucky, or he was forced into the right decision, however you want to look at it.
I'm just saying the Niners had time to evaluate the situation. This thing, they had no time, and the Packers didn't have it. Like, it's more about the Packers didn't have any time either.
I've come to grips, and this is not an original take. I heard a bunch of people saying this the last couple days. I was adamant, I guess, where I stood on this, supported Aaron because of the Jordan Love situation you never shake. But, like, Terry's a good example. And any quarterback, I remember Steve Young talked about the guys they brought in. Aaron knows that this guy can't hold his jock. So even once they fuck up, Aaron knows I'm back in control. I'm the captain now because that guy stinks. I'm elite. I have all the power back. I think this, and you saw the Kentucky Derby picture, his fiance, wife, girlfriend, I don't even know what they're considered, but she actually was an animal activist. I saw that then when the picture of the Kentucky Derby went viral, all the animal activists got pissed off. She's been arrested before for like a, you know, one of those PETA marches type things. Oh, like
tying herself to a
doing one of those
or something?
Yeah, you know, to not let the cows, you know, get slaughtered or whatever. And I do just wonder if Aaron's fiance, if it's influencing him. And ultimately, if it's as simple as, you see this a lot in the NBA. I guess it's less about what city they live in because they're not there as much. Where in the NFL, you are in the city. Like, even your 8 away games now, I guess for the NFC, it's 9. Your 9 away games, you're just there less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
It's like overnight trip. So you are spending 6 months, and for Aaron, where they consistently go to the playoffs, basically June till probably late January there, right? Mid-June. Right?
You live at home mid-July. When you're an NFL
player. Yeah. And I can imagine when you look at his 3 teams, he's a West Coast guy. 3 teams were the Niners, the Raiders, and the Broncos. None of them were like other teams. He could have easily thrown out Miami, the Jets, because it's not like winning was a check mark on this list, right? Because the other 2 teams are, I mean, the Raiders made the playoffs once in 18 years. The Broncos have been terrible for now about 4. Elway, I read Mike Silver's article, was like, you know, it was weird just sitting in the draft room. I just gave it up. Was he forced to? It's one of those like, you know, I quit, but I moved up. Who knows? But part of it was that they weren't winning.
If they were rolling, he'd still be he'd be calling.
1,000%. So is it about, does he just want to be back west? And here's what you can't, and I don't blame him for thinking that. He's been there for 15 years, maybe just over it. He's tired of looking at Gutekunst. I get it all. What he cannot say is, I'm tired of fucking living here. Because what does he want to be for the rest of his life till he's buried? A Green Bay Packer legend. So you can't, it's easy to use Gutekunst instead of crushing the area and kind of what the Packers title town, what it stands for. If he just came out, I think a lot of people, I'd respect them if he's like, you know, I just don't want to live here anymore. But he 100% cannot say that.
I do think he doesn't like the front office.
Yeah, I would imagine he does not like the GM for doing that, but I don't think this entire move, the more I've let it marinate in my brain, is strictly over Gutekunst drafting Jordan.
I 1,000% agree with that, but I also think it goes back to how...
Once Jordan Love was proved that he's not that good.
But I bet it goes back further, John. My guess is, remember, did he want them to fire McCarthy 4 years before they moved on from Mike McCarthy? Were there arguments?
But Gutekunst wasn't the general manager then.
Well, I understand, but I'm just saying, like, who was it Silver that wrote he has beef with, like, it's the whole front office? It's not just Gutekunst? Like, he's got problems with everybody? Was he mad that when it came time to hire Matt LaFleur?
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur? That it wasn't, Aaron didn't get to call the shots, right? Like, I'm with you. I agree it's more than Jordan Love. I agree with
okay,
that.
Okay, but my thing would be, which is fair, they've had a pretty successful relationship over 2 years. I mean, he's had, just look back at the stats / the wins, it's got to be one of the greatest two-year stretches of his career.
I mean, part of why they were good, they signed the Smith brothers, right? Who did that?
Gutekunst. They re-signed Aaron Jones, who he was kind of pounding the table for, who's good. Like, I'm just saying, we do, the way Aaron kind of came out attacking the front office, one thing fans and definitely people in our shoes will do much probably different than maybe 20, 30 years ago, we'll evaluate the situation and immediately pick a side. And we're not, like, always picking the team side. The Texans get shit on 24/7, 365. If people are like, God, I don't even blame the Packers, joke. It's like, bro, you won 26 games. You hosted the NFC Championship game. You arguably had the best year of your career.
Yeah.
Individually and team-wise, I mean, it's beside the year you won the Super Bowl, probably your best chance because the only time you've ever hosted the game. So it's like, I think people go, is it, you just want out, Aaron? Because this gets back to, you just want to live out west, which again, I've understood. I've been there, making way less money and farther away to the east. Like, I get wanting to come home, but at least just, his problem is he can't be honest about that because he would get crushed by the Packer people, which he wants to love them because they do.
I agree, but I do think there was a real animosity with him and the organization.
Do you think Yoko Ono's playing a role here? Because that's what the internet thinks.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Aaron was legitimately pissed all last year. Now, I don't know when he started dating her, but I think Aaron was legitimately pissed last year. And I think Aaron holds grudges for a really long time.
I think most people kind of do, right?
Yeah, but
on different levels. It's hard for humans to forget. Some people, if you're good enough at what you do or good looking enough to upgrade in a relationship, it's easy to get back. And he's one of the rare 1-1 percenters, right, who's good enough to usually win his grudges. At least now. Maybe when he hits 41, it's not quite as good. It won't be as easy. People will be like, oh, this guy's just a dick. Remember toward the end of Favre, it was like, God, Brett, hang him up, buddy. There's a balance. Right now, he's still in control because he's elite. That's the key.
Yeah, and then Favre unretired. And, you know, that was a situation that Aaron had to deal with, too.
Aaron, but probably, I even mean like the second Minnesota season. Oh, I was like, oh, this kind of ugly. This guy's kind of.
Remember the Jets season was ugly before went to Minnesota and was good. The Jets season, I remember seeing him. He played at the Niners. I was like, this guy does not have it anymore.
But guys can get. I just think guys can get weird fast for whatever reason. You know, we call Antonio Brown a weirdo because of the way it happened in Pittsburgh. But like, really, what? Just because he went truly public with a sit down with Jeff Darlington, Aaron's refused to do that because he's better at PR. But what's the difference? It's like you're winning, you're crushing.
Yeah,
it,
I mean, Aaron
dominating.
As a quarterback is just more directly. He just more directly impacts. When, like, he has a better time saying we're winning because of me, right?
And he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. But to the original point, the Niners called because of course you call. It's Aaron, like. If the Niners were told Thursday morning you can trade the the third overall pick for Aaron Rodgers, they would have done it in a heartbeat, right?
Can they still do it?
I mean, I think it's harder once you get the guy in the building. You know, it's harder once you think, like, how much do we love this guy? But yes, they can. The short answer is yes, you can still do it. I think do you agree that it's harder once you get Trey Lance in the building? You're like, okay, now this is the direction we're going?
My gut says you can't do it now, but I don't know why I would say that.
That's also my gut. But I just think about it like, you just go, wait, we're going to just acquire Aaron Rodgers tomorrow?
If he was 34, I wouldn't hesitate. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be 38. Like, you're getting up there.
Part of it, too, is like, what's the truth about Trey Lance? We would find out a little bit the truth about Trey Lance. Like, have they loved Trey Lance for 3 months? They can't wait to get him. They're absolutely sure that Trey Lance is a star in the make, just waiting to be hatched, right?
Yeah.
What do you really think? We'd find out what you really think. Because if that's what you really think, if you think you got Josh Allen in 2 years, then you don't do that deal.
Well, because I know if I'm the Packers.
Well, if you were the Jags, would you do the deal? Trevor Lawrence for Aaron Rodgers?
Part of the element here is Aaron would be like, I'm not playing in Jacksonville.
No, I understand.
So
I'm just saying if you're in the position where you had the guy that you think is a surefire top tier quarterback.
I would not. I would take Trevor Lawrence.
So if you think Trey Lance is going to be that, if you're them, then I don't think you do that deal.
Well, because also the problem is like Trey Lance for Aaron Rodgers doesn't get it done. But to me, if I'm Gutekunst, be like, I want Trey Lance, I want Nick Bosa, and I want George Kittle. That's my counteroffer.
Right.
Because I know you have no pick, so I don't want second, third round picks mean nothing to
but
me.
But I would say this too. Ultimately, if you're the Packers and you think Trey Lance is the next Josh Allen, then you do that deal. Like, you're like, okay, this guy doesn't want to be here. We're ready to move on from him anyway. We think that guy's a star.
Do what deal?
Trey Lance for Aaron Rodgers.
You would never do that straight up, though.
No, but I'm saying if you are convinced that guy is Josh Allen, if you are convinced that if they thought right now the guy they drafted last year was ready to be a star, then yeah, go get your 4-1s for Aaron Rodgers and move on with your life.
Yeah, I think the problem, though, is with the draft, no matter how much you love a guy, and this would probably include Trevor Lawrence, you never truly know.
That's right.
Aaron Rodgers is, I think when the dust settles, how is he not going to be considered a top five quarterback of all time, right? Because Marino is, and he never even won a Super Bowl. It feels like Aaron's accomplished more. right? I know it's not apples to apples. The league was different back then, but like, is Aaron Rodgers going to be considered better than Dan Marino?
Well, I think we already talk about him. People say things like he's the most talented quarterback to ever play, which is just a way to say, yeah, I wish he had another Super Bowl.
Yeah. Don't you think Marino's kind of talked about like that, too?
Yeah, but
And Elway's the version of most talented who actually won two, right?
I think Rodgers ahead of Marino. Just if we get 100 people made their list.
So if I told you you had Marino after an MVP in what looks like the peak of his powers, yeah, I ain't trading him for a rookie, right? I think you got to use like other people in previous attempts.
I think you only do it when you're ready to. You only do it when it is kind of you're ready to do it, right? They thought they were about to be ready to do it, and then Aaron won the MVP. You can't be ready to do it when the guy's winning MVPs. Yeah, or when the guy you drafted is not good enough to replace him.
I would imagine, I can't speak. I mean, you and I have both kind of lived just the sporting industry more than any other business, but there can't be a more consistently fluid, day-to-day changing any major, huge business than sports. I mean, things change so fast.
Doge. Right?
Injuries, improvement. Guys getting slow. I mean, just you can ebb and flow year to year dramatic. Like, it's not crazy to have plans. I mean, a year ago, the Niners were like, Tom Brady, no! Tom Brady, kick rocks. A year later, three first rounders, four. Yeah, we kind of like Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Justin Fields. We'll see a month. I mean, things change. I'm not even just day to day, but like 6 months. Think how fast things change in 6 months in pro sports.
Well, it was a foregone conclusion that the biggest story in the NFL was going to be, is Deshaun Watson holding out? Has Deshaun Watson been traded to the Niners, to the Dolphins? Are they going to flip too? And now it's like, is Davis Mills going to beat out Tyrod Taylor? Like, what is it going to look like?
Right? I mean, we're like a month away from is Deshaun Watson ever playing in the NFL again? My column on The Athletic.
Well, I know
$1
this,
for the next 6 months.
Play itself out, and I just know what we thought the Deshaun story was going to be. It's the opposite end of the spectrum.
Well, you know what's clearly stopped there is Deshaun stopped pounding the table for a trade because that ain't happening.
Well, yeah,
right
you
now,
know,
right?
No one can. Yeah, it went from is he going to hold out to like, will they let him play? It's like.
And I'm not even you're bringing in an element of like off the field, which with humans, which is key. I'm just talking about play,
yeah.
Right? Improving deep, trending up, trending down, getting old. That's the one thing, like in most businesses, if you're just good at it, like you're going to get better in time. In sports, you're like, when can we short this guy? Because I hate to say it, that's kind of the general manager's job, is just to know when we got to pivot. No matter how. Whether it's Montana, Rodgers, or like our backup guard, like can we upgrade? You're always trying to do that. It's not, I know these guys get shit on social media like it's an easy job. It is difficult because you're around them a lot. You're trying to be objective, but you're also subjective because you're like living in it. Like I don't think Gutekunst was in an easy spot. Now, them leaking that they would have taken the two wide receivers, like bro, just trade up and get one if you really
or
want.
Or don't even tell me about it. I don't care.
Well, they're doing it on purpose, don't you think?
Yeah, it doesn't accomplish anything to me.
I know. You
but they're trying
it.
To say, which I think we knew at the time, they didn't go into that first round going, how do we get Jordan Love? But as we've heard, they probably had 18 first-round grades on guys. They couldn't trade back. They're like, well, we like this guy. I mean, yeah, why not? Value, boom.
Well, I will say this for Jordan Love, where I don't believe Mac Jones fell. I think still he was overdrafted or at minimum went where he was supposed to go. I do think Jordan Love was like a top 25 physical talent, like guys like him go in the top 20,
yeah.
And they did so. This guy just plummeted to us. Once upon a time, it happened. I don't know with this guy causing all this drama. So
it's pretty crazy.
It is. It's kind of history repeating itself because he was always adamant. He was always kind of outspoken. I wasn't going to do that. I'm not going to act like that. And he. But that's where it's like, is it truly about Jordan Love, or is there more to it?
I think there's more.
That's where. Yeah.
I think it's all the stuff. I think it's wanting to be somewhere else. I think it's a history of not liking. I don't know.
I would say coming out with a report, if he's behind it, that he wants the general manager fired is very Favre-ian. What Favre would have done back then.
Did Favre do that?
No, I think his was more.
I mean, saying you want the GM
remember.
Fired when it's been a pretty solid organization is pretty crazy.
Who's been good at his job?
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
The only thing he hasn't done well, apparently, is mend whatever issues there are with Aaron, or like, you know, have a good relationship with Aaron.
But this is where I do think we can speak on a much, much lower level. Sometimes Aaron may be like, I don't want to mend it. And that's just his truth.
I don't want
He hates him.
Yeah.
I don't want to mend the situation.
Well, yeah,
I
but it's like,
no,
how did it get
desire.
Here? That's where that goes back to. So is it just about, because if it's just about Jordan and you want to mend it, okay. That's why I think I agree with you. That's why I know that I agree with you. I think it's about more than just Jordan Love. Maybe Jordan Love tipped the scales, but I think it's about whatever happened for years with McCarthy. I think it's about hiring the new head coach, LaFleur. I think it's about all this stuff and probably a million things we don't know about.
I just wonder if you're a human being and you're a high-level guy and you're anti a decision at the time, right, LaFleur, but then it goes well and you like him. To me, you are pretty petty if you hold on to that.
Yes.
Let's just move on.
Yes.
You know? Put your ego to the side and move on.
You know, one will be interesting to watch is the Cardinals. I missed this till somebody told me about it. I guess Kyler was on Good Morning Football before the draft and was asked, you know, do you want input? You know, basically kind of like the Russell Wilson question, like, should you have input? And he wasn't, I don't think he answered it quite like Russell, but basically what he said was, well, yeah, I mean, I think if you're the face of the franchise, if you're trusted to be the face of the franchise, then you should be able to, you know, share your thoughts on building the team, on draft picks, on that kind of thing. And, you know, when Russ said it, everyone went, okay, I mean, it's Russ. Like, let them build the team, but it's Russell Wilson. Like, you've earned it. It sure could get weird for Arizona. The whole dynamic is just interesting there.
Listen, I know times change, society changes, but what the fuck's the money for? Like, isn't a huge part of the whole thing is, like, we pay you. I heard Robert Saleh, like, talking about Zach Wilson, and he's like, we all know it's the most important quarterback, but he's like, that's why they get paid so much? Or, you know, the quarterback's the most important position? That's what the money's for?
Right.
Like, hey, Kyler, you were the number one pick in the draft. That's what the money's for you to play quarterback. And if you're good, they'll give you a huge extension. Your money's for your talent. We don't give a shit what you think, because who's to say that you know anything? It's what I always say about coaches. Just because you're a good coach doesn't mean you can draft players. If it is true that Kyle wanted Mac Jones, that would have been one of the more laughable decisions in the history of the league if they would have taken him at three. So it's like coaches are bad at it. Players, you know? I mean, that's a pretty laughable comment, but I do think it's very par for the course and kind of this clutch generation of LeBron James of football, which again, I'm not opposed. I have no issue with Russell or Aaron. They've earned it. Elite players, pelts on the wall, soup champions. My issue more is when non-champions create a just like, what are you doing? Like, you kind of look like a clown. It's why I've never had a problem. I don't have a problem with Rodgers doing this. I don't have a problem with Russell doing it. And I'm not even saying Kyler did this, but no, you shouldn't have any say.
Well, like,
if we have a question, we'll ask you, but if we don't, we won't.
Yeah, and I also think, though, if Kyler were the coach of the Rams, to me, it would mean nothing. Excuse me, if you're the quarterback of the Rams, where Sean McVay, like, it's pretty clear who's making decisions, who's earned the right to be in charge.
But is Kyler the face of the Cardinals? I would say he's not.
Well, who is?
I would say they don't really have one, but it definitely ain't him.
Well, it's him now.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Who would it be?
I would say it's more...
You're in charge of the Cardinals marketing. We got to hang a big billboard. Who are we putting on it?
DeAndre Hopkins. J.J. Watt.
That's not J.J. J.J. Watt's never played a snap for you. It's the future quarterback.
Is Larry still on the team?
A.J. Green's there. Larry and A.J. Green would be a pretty questionable decision.
Yeah, I mean, I would say
it was Larry forever, but I think it's you draft a guy number one overall.
Because,
he's your quarterback.
But just because you're a face of a franchise, if you're not winning or doing any good, like who cares?
Well, but you're the quarterback. Right? You think DeAndre Hopkins doesn't get to change the play at the line of scrimmage. I do. I make decisions when I'm the quarterback.
Or you? I mean, are we sure? Or does he look to the side?
What I'm saying is, I just quarterbacks tend to think. No, yeah, you're right.
I've been saying I think that this Cardinal team has 7 wins written all over it, and I've already said I think we should put we've been discussing to put a substantial wager on just one like over under in the league and just carry it all the whole season. We'll have to keep discussing this as we get closer to the season, but there is no way, and I'm not saying like they couldn't go like 3-3 in the division. To me, they just have written all over it. You look up, and they're playing the Bengals or the Giants or just random teams, and they're down 10-0 in the third quarter.
And this is why I say what I said about McVay. The point is, Cliff Kingsbury does not have any equity. Keim, like, this was his last big shot.
Well, who's the face of the Rams?
The coach.
Yeah. Face of the Niners?
The coach.
Yeah.
It's very college.
And Russell's the face of Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Now if Trey Lance turns into Josh Allen. But, you know, I do think that's where Kansas City is unique in that Mahomes is just the face of the league. But he doesn't over, like Andy Reid gets all of his credit too, right?
Yeah.
But this is, it's just, this has the potential to get a little loose and get a little weird. Cliff's never won. Kimes never really won. Is Kyler going to get, is there going to be a little bit of a void if they lose? Okay, they're winning 6 games or they're 7-10.
Kime had success with Arians. Problem is, this is his third coach.
He's third coach in 3 years.
Yeah.
Second coach in 3 years, excuse me. Third coach in 4 years.
He did have a stretch where he had 3 coaches in 3 years. Arians retires or whatever. Then he hires Wilkes, fails, and then gets Kingsbury.
If they're a 7-win team, there's just going to be a, I'm saying there's going to be a void of leadership. So when we start talking about someone's job's on the line, we know who's not going to be on the line initially. It won't be Kyler's. Kyler will be the last of those three.
But I got one for you. If they go 7-10 this year and everyone's blown out, I would say that Kyler would not be a lock to get that fifth-year option picked up going into the process of bringing in a new administration coach GM. Would you agree there? Because if you go 7-10, like I bet
yeah,
Kyler
it depends
leaves
how
a little
he looks.
Be desired.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyler, a big reason they ended up 8-8 this year and the Niners kicked their ass, like he sucked down the stretch.
Health,
we don't know. And I'm a Kyler talent. I think his talent is immense for a little guy. But it just, you saw last year, like the rigors of the NFL getting tossed on the ground. Like, is it something that he's just going to have a 10-year career at that size? If you had to bet, does Kyler, over under Kyler ever making a run at professional baseball? Yes or no? I guess that wouldn't be an over-under.
So, but you're saying, like, he plays 5 years in the league, tries baseball.
That'd be a hot take for me. I bet he makes a run at professional baseball.
Yeah, I mean, he'd have to be, I guess he could try it whenever, right? You can be retired from the NFL at 33 and still
You don't even need to be good at baseball. I mean, look at Tim.
Yeah, Tebow was better than he gets credit for.
Kyler's such an elite athlete that even at 27 or 28, baseball teams would give him a tryout, right?
Yeah, the thing was he's never really known as a hitter, so he'd have to he couldn't be coming to baseball like physically beat up from football, a lot slower, a lot less athletic.
Yeah, I mean, he'd have
to
be
the
fast.
Challenge. But
Tim couldn't hit.
He'd get a shot. Tim couldn't hit, I mean, relative, but Tim didn't hit 180. Like, what did Tim end up hitting, like 230?
Yeah, a little pop.
All right, John, anything else? We're growing, so thank you. Share it. Tell other people about it. I don't know where the DraftKings game stands right now, but the Habermann and Milkoff DraftKings League is there for you, too. So, goodbye, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us. Be back again soon.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.